Today's scripture reading comes from Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
This week, I was reminded of a maybe a secret to preaching, or a tactic, maybe. And I thought I'd let you in on it. What they say is, tell everyone what you're going to say, then say it, then tell everyone what you said. It's sort of a teaching tool, too. Teachers have probably heard something similar. It's a teaching tool to make sure that you've said what you're trying to say several times and that everyone can hear it that way. If they miss it the first time, maybe they'll catch it the second or third time. And when I was looking through what I wanted to say for this week and kind of this theme of walking with God for this particular week, I realized that the saying part might be a little tricky. I was having trouble with what was going on in my head and figuring out how I can actually put that out into words. So I'm going to tell you what I hope to say, and then I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to tell you what I hope I said. So I just want to let you know that now so that you can really pay attention at the beginning and at the end, and if you need to doze off in the middle, that's fine. So just treat it like a normal week. Last week, oh, never mind. I need to tell you what I'm going to say. What am I doing? Okay, here's what I'm going to say, what I'm hoping to say. The destination of our journey that the Bible reveals is not just something out in the future. The destination that the Bible reveals to us in Revelation and all through the Scriptures is also a present reality that God invites us to live in here and now. We're not simply waiting for the kingdom of God to come and reign on earth as in heaven sometime in the future. We celebrate that it has come and we can take part in it here and now. That's what I'm going to say, as I've just said. So last week we looked at the image from Revelation 21, and the image from Revelation 21 last week was of the final victory, was of God finally and completely coming to earth and reigning here on earth, of God remaking heaven, remaking earth, and joining the two of them together. That's the image that we had. All of sin and death have gone away. What's left is creation, is life, joy, God reigning and ruling and living with each and every one of us. Every tear is wiped away. And so what I was saying last week was that we need visions like this that are out there so that we can continue to move forward. We need to know that that is out there waiting for us so that we have purpose, we have reason to move forward, especially when things get difficult. That vision is going to be out there for us. Now, I mentioned it last week, and I'll say it again. I think the mistake that a lot of Christians have made is assuming that the point is entirely out there. The point is entirely for us to wait for that thing that's coming in the future. And not only that, for us to desire to escape this God-forsaken place and make it to the heaven that is waiting for us. And in the vision to John in Revelation, we're given this message that it's not about escaping this place. It's about God coming and living with us. It's a reaffirmation of creation, that God created the world. It's broken. We are broken. Sin and death has entered into the world, but God will not abandon it. God will not abandon us. And so what God wants, what God has always wanted, was to see creation flourish, was to see wholeness and joy and peace rule on earth as in heaven. And since God has always wanted this, there's always been this intimate connection between the realm of heaven and the realm of earth, between God and God's creation. They haven't been and are not these separate entities that we try to escape one to get to the other. So I talk about heaven as being, my definition for heaven is the realm of God's complete rule. And the way I will talk about earth is that earth is the realm of God's incomplete rule, or maybe unrecognized rule. And the two have been always intimately connected. We see in the creation account in Genesis that God's hand was intimately in the work of creation. God was present and spoke with Adam and Eve. Later on in Genesis, Jacob has a dream in which he sees heaven open and a stairway from heaven to earth that angels pass back and forth freely. There is this intimate, meaningful connection at all times between heaven and earth. Then Jacob wrestles with a stranger in the night, and he's given a new name that means wrestles with God. So Jacob was physically wrestling with the presence of God on earth. God shows up in power when Moses leads the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt. And the stories go on and on of how God's connection to the earth, how the realm of heaven, God's residence, and earth are connected intimately. And then the clearest act of God connecting heaven and earth is when Jesus is born. The holiness of heaven and the goodness of creation are joined together in one being. Heaven and earth are joined together in one being. This is what God always wanted. This is what God intended in Eden, and this is what God promises in the vision to John that we call Revelation. And then Jesus goes on and makes announcements about the kingdom, saying, "The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is among you. The kingdom of heaven is like this and like this." He tells us to pray that God's will would be done on earth, here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Then he shows the ultimate sign of God's reign through his death and resurrection. When the power of sin and death were defeated, and the promise of a complete victory over sin and death are to come. So I think it's at this point, reading this understanding of the intimate connection, that we can lose our way when we assume that heaven is the ultimate goal. If the main point of Jesus' death and resurrection was that we were ransomed from sin and death and that we would float away as souls to heaven, Jesus wouldn't have needed to come back in bodily form. He could have risen to heaven as a bodiless soul. But he didn't. He showed the disciples his scars on his body. He made a meal of fish and ate with them on the beach. He walked with some of them and explained the scriptures to them and then sat down and had a meal of bread together. And through all of this, the point is that creation is still good. It's still worth redeeming and renewing. It needs to be renewed. Creation needs to be renewed, not abandoned. And the image from today's passage in Revelation, then, we see heaven and earth intimately connected. So we see people worshiping who have been clothed in white, and these are martyrs. They are people who lived great lives of faith, and they died as a result, and they have a place worshiping in the heavenly realm. And we see people from every tribe and tongue and nation, something like culture, something like language, something like nationality and ethnicity we assume to be just an earthly thing that we will completely abandon. Here in the heavenly realm, those things are important. Those things are beautiful. The differences, the diversity of our world, of God's creation, of language and art and culture are actually important and are actually good in God's realm, in the realm of heaven. They don't just disappear and we become ghosts that float among the clouds. In earlier parts of Revelation, the prayers of God's people come to the worship space as incense, pleasing to God. So what we do on earth means something in the heavenly realm, here and now and in the future. And here's a quote from N.T. Wright, who says it better than I ever could. And he's talking about He's focusing this on the resurrection, that the resurrection affirms creation. He says, the point of resurrection is that the present bodily life is not valueless because it will die. What you do with your body in the present matters because God has a great future in store for it. What you do in the present, by painting, preaching, singing, sewing, praying, teaching, building hospitals, digging wells, campaigning for justice, writing poems, caring for the needy, loving your neighbor as yourself, they will all last into God's future. These activities are not simply ways of making the present life a little less beastly, a little more bearable, until the day when we leave it behind altogether. They are part of what we may call building for God's kingdom. End quote. So here's where I want to highlight the title of this sermon and the title of last sermon. Last week, the sermon title was Walking with God, Seeing the Destination. So we were focused on seeing the destination ahead, helping that to be our motivation for walking with God. This week's sermon title is Walking with God, Being the Destination. N.T. Wright talks about building for God's kingdom. And I want to use a couple other verbs. Being is one of those. Being the destination. Practicing for the kingdom and proclaiming the kingdom. These are all different ways of kind of understanding what it means to be living here and now in God's kingdom in a way that is meaningful, that follows Jesus, that recognizes that the ultimate rule is to come, the ultimate reign is to come, but that we here on earth recognize that God's rule can be realized within and among us and in the world. So when I think about practice is a term that comes to mind. I was an athlete in a former life, and you know, there's lots of different philosophies of practice, but the one thing I noticed about practicing for a game is you know, early on, it's really frustrating to think about how much work is going on, and it doesn't really feel like it's for anything. You're just running back and forth all the time to the point of, you know, getting sick, and the game is 2 weeks away. Why do we have to go for 10 days of working our butts off just for the game at the, you know, 2 weeks away from there? And it's later on that I realize that the practice is not simply preparing us for the game. It's preparing us for the game, but it's actually doing what we want to have as a goal as a team, is to play better as a team, is to play better as individuals, is to be a better person. And the practice actually accomplishes that. Going through the rhythms of practice actually makes us a team together. We wouldn't be a team if we just showed up for the 20 games every week. We wouldn't be a good team at all. I wouldn't be a good player. So practice actually helps me get to that goal that I want to be, and it's a part of that process in getting me ready for the game and getting my mind in the right place and getting my body in the right place, so that when the game comes, it's just second nature. I'm used to it. I know what's coming. In addition, proclaiming is another verb that I wanted to use, and proclaiming the kingdom is as we are being the destination. We proclaim the kingdom by being the destination. And what I mean by that is when we look at what God said to Abram, God's call to Abram was that you are to follow me, I will bless you, you will be a blessing, I will bless the whole world through you. So this term blessing comes up, and it's this idea, a blessing is something that comes from without, from outside of us, and can flow through us. We can receive a blessing, we can be a blessing to others, but even when we're being a blessing to others, it's coming from something outside of ourselves. And when Jesus talks about the kingdom and talks about the people, like the song that we sang, he brings up the meek and those who suffer and those who mourn, and he says, you're blessed. Now, some translations say happy, and I'm not really content with that, because happiness is a feeling. Blessedness is something that comes from outside of us that we can feel, that can flow through us to others. So the promise to Abram and Abraham and his family to be a blessing, Jesus reiterates that point, that the kingdom of God will come through those who mourn, will come through the peacemakers, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And it's not something in the future. Jesus doesn't say, you will be blessed, you who mourn. He said, you are blessed. It's a present reality. It's a present reality recognizing the ultimate reality in which sin and death will be conquered. Every tear will be wiped from their eyes. And so we proclaim the kingdom of God here and now when we work for justice, when we teach, when we write poetry, like N.T. Wright says, that long list of things, when we leave family and friends and go to Alaska and Wisconsin and Serbia, when we raise our children day in and day out, showing them love and discipline and care and embodying a love for Jesus, when we go to work every single day and treat people the way Jesus hoped that we would, when we treat people with that vision of every tear being wiped away. We have been given the gift of reconciliation, Paul says. So day in and day out, we can be that destination. And in that way, we can proclaim that to others, that they can see the destination. They can read what we read in Revelation. They can read what we read in the prophets, in Isaiah. And they can actually see it happening right beside them when we are that destination, when we live that out. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, thanks be to God, God gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So here again, Paul reiterates this message that the goal is not for us to escape this God-forsaken place, for us to float away to heaven, but for us to do the work of heaven here and now, so that we can be the vision that we have for the future. We can be God's vision. We can be the people that God called us to be, affirming creation, affirming life, hope and joy for all around us. So this is my closing, and you can pay attention again now. So if you did zone out, here's what I said. The destination that God shows us in Revelation, the destination that God shows us in the prophets in Isaiah, the destination that God shows us through Jesus, we can have hope in. We can live towards that destination because we know that God fulfills his promises and will fulfill that one when every tongue and tribe and nation will be worshiping together. When death is completely defeated, when all of our tears are wiped away, and we can experience that in small parts here and now. We can be that destination. We are empowered by Jesus' death and resurrection, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be that destination, to face suffering and death with honesty and with confidence, knowing that it will not have the final say. We can face injustice knowing that we can work to bring people together. We can face difficult relationships knowing that God will eventually bring us all together and that Jesus has empowered us to work through difficult relationships, to speak truth in love. So as much as we want to see the destination and strive for that sometime in the future, I encourage you, I ask you, and I celebrate with you that we can be the destination here and now. May God's will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Amen.